your cell phone, I want you to pull it out right now. Make sure it's on vibrate, but I want you to pull out your cell phone. Now, this reminds me of kind of the son of Satan, but we're not going to be the son of Satan here this morning when we do this. But I want you to hold your cell phone out. And then I want you to repeat this after me. Okay? This is my cell phone. I have what it says I have. It says I can do many things. Today my heart is receptive. It tells me not to leave it alone. I hear what it hears. I answer its every call. It makes my mind forget. And I will never be the same. Man, how stupid is that? But there's a point to it. What if we saw the Word of God that way? Is anybody here? What if we saw the Word of God that way? It tells me what I have. It tells me what I can do. I answer its every call. I can't wait to use it. Is there truth to what I'm saying? There's a terrible craving today. There's a terrible craving today. And I feel I've been given somewhat of a revelation. You know, I've studied the Word of God for maybe 14, 15 years. And there's always something new you can learn. There's always something that God can teach you every day when you come to His Word. But it's kind of interesting because I equate it to almost like having a cell phone. We hunger and crave when we don't have it. If you lose it, you'll tear up everything. You'll unturn every rock to find it. But boy, what if we sought out God that way? What if we answered His every call? We got the greatest text message ever sent to us right here. From Genesis to Revelation. But like I said, there's a terrible craving today. People are hungry. People are hungry. People are thirsty. People need food. There's a lot of needy folks out there. What's going on? What's really going on? It is what the Bible calls a famine. And it's scary because there are many famines enlisted in the Scriptures, starting in Genesis all the way through the Revelation. You can find a famine for food, a famine for water. You can look around us today in the world, in the third world countries, even some parts of the United States. Here, I drive past Blairs Ferry Road. I see them on Boyson Road. People are starving. People are hungry. People need money. People need food. People need clothing. There's always someone needy. There's always someone needy out there. Usually, the famines described to us in Scripture have reference to physical need. Usually. You can start the famous one in Genesis. Well, you can start with Amalek and Gior. There was a famine. There was Joseph in Egypt. There was a famine. Food. People had to come to a certain place to get fed. It's quite severe in some areas of the world. It's even more severe in the church. The U.S., think of the United States, it's always involved in reaching out. You know, we see catastrophes around the world. You'll see it on the news. People propagate and people immediately give and will send food all the way around the world to feed the hungry. But you just can't feed them anything. If you go to a third world country, and I've been there, people literally starving to death. You can't give them McDonald's. They'll perish upon eating it. It's poison to their body. Because they haven't had the substance. They haven't had the nutrients. What I see today in the church and what God has given me the revelation for is there's a famine going on. It's huge. And actually, somewhat, it's self-imposed. We've never lived in a time where Bibles are readily available. There's so many churches, there's so many pastors, there's so many prophets, quote unquote. You can look on TV. I was watching TV at 4 a.m. this morning. You know, I can't sleep when I get up here and have to do this. This is a different ball game. Amen. Guys know what I'm talking about when I say ball game. But this is a different ball game. Okay? And I'm sitting there just flipping through channels. I'm sitting there with my 9-month-old son who had trouble sleeping last night. And I'm just going, wow, there's a sermon on this TV. There's a heresy on this TV. And there's name it and claim it on this channel. It's all over the place. People are literally starving. And what happens when you starve? You will eat anything. You will eat anything. But particularly today, just today, I want to look at a specific famine spoken of by Amos in the book of Amos. So if you turn there with me, chapter 8, the book of Amos. Amos speaks of a famine, but not of food, not of water, but of the Word of God. And we all know the scripture in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Man can't live by bread alone. You can't live by your cell phone alone, although some days it feels like it. I text, I tweet, I answer a lot of phone calls. If I lose it, I'm in trouble. It makes my mind forget. Why? I can't remember a phone number. If you give me a name, if I got it in my phone, I could tell you. But I can't remember a number besides my home number, which I've had for 19, 20 years, something like that. That's the only phone number I can remember. And my kids' cell phone number. The important ones I really try and remember. The other stuff, give me a name and I can tell you. But in the book of Amos, he gives us kind of an interesting perspective on this famine. And I want to read the first 14 verses of this chapter and then kind of comment on it. So if you follow along, I have the New King James is what I'm reading from today. So follow along with your version. Valid version, that is. Thus the Lord God showed me, behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what do you see? So I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will not pass by them anymore. And the songs of the temple shall be wailing in that day, says the Lord God. Many dead bodies everywhere. How many of you know we're walking among many dead bodies right now? They shall be thrown out in silence. Hear this, you who swallow up the needy and make the poor of the land fail, saying, when will the new moon be passed that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we might trade wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel large, falsifying the scales by deceit, that we might buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, even sell the bad wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall the land not tremble for this, and everyone mourn who dwells in it? We're in trouble. All of it shall swell like the river Heave and subside like the river of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord God, that I will make the sun go down at noon. I will darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feasts into mourning and all of your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on every waist and baldness on every head. I'm the exception. I will make it like mourning for an only son. And its end like a bitter day. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. In that day, the fair virgins and the strong men shall faint from thirst. Those who swear by the sin of Samaria, who say, as your God lives, O Dan, and as the way of Beersheba lives, they shall fall and never rise again. Wow. This is a different kind of famine. There's a lot of famines today. There's a famine for the Word of God. God sends the famines. God creates them at times. But this one in particular is a little bit different than what we might experience and what we might see around us today. Amos, he was a farmer. shepherd, and then God called him to be a prophet. Can you imagine? I can't imagine. When you think about some of these guys in the scriptures. You know, I was talking to a lady as a side note this past week at my office, and she was more atheistic in her beliefs and had about a 25-minute conversation about evolution and all this stuff. And I was telling Brother Paul this morning a little bit about it. And it was kind of funny because, you know, when people are starving and they start seeking and they start asking lots of questions, well, what about this God? And finally one day, before this conversation, she actually said she needed God. She turned did a 360 almost. Her life is a mess. But you have to ask yourself why. Well, if you believe in evolution, if we evolved from slime, then that's what you're going to act like. This is what they teach in the school system. There's no moral governor. There's no laws. We evolved from apes. Well, we did come from monkeys, she said. I said, well, then why are there still monkeys? Why can't humans reproduce monkeys if we came from monkeys? It doesn't make sense. It's not even logical. But if you're starving, you'll think and swallow anything. You'll accept anything just to appeal to your conscience. But I digress. Sorry. But back to Amos, I guess. What's happening with Amos? What did he see? God said he saw. He asked Amos what he saw. And Amos had one mission when God called him. One. And that's simply to warn the people of God's judgment. It was coming. And you notice down in the second half, verse 11, it says there was a famine on the land. Not in, on. Something that's impressed, something that's coming, something that's given. It's a judgment. And this is God's hand. You're going to reject me? Not me, that is. You're going to reject Jesus? You're going to reject God? You're going to continue to go by the wayside? You're going to continue to ignore the cross? You're going to continue to ignore the warning signs that's on TV? You see all these murders. Society's gone mad.
Yes.
It's absolutely gone mad. Homosexuality, it's now accepted. You see it in the school system, the LPDG. I saw it on the news. One supposedly Christian now compromising with the organization. Now we got to work together. We got to sing Kumbaya. Okay, you go ahead. Though hand joined in hand, the wicked shall not go unpunished. God will judge. Now the problem is, if I'm unsaved and you're sitting here today, you're unsaved. The problem is you can't keep ignoring it. Oh, well, I hear this stuff all the time. I hear Jesus is coming tomorrow. Well, he very well could come for you. You could drop dead when you walk out of here. Then what? Well, straight to the judgment seat. That's a scary thought for any of us. And I just kind of started the series, and this is part of a series. So if the Lord wills, I get to preach again. I'm going to continue on. It's about really preparing for the Lord's return. And part of preparing for the Lord's return, we got to survive things. This is one of them. We have to survive the famine that's come upon us. It speaks right to our day, Amos does, in one sense. Right to our day. We have a malnourished church, spiritually. We're fortunate here because we get the word. But we can't be like the Dead Sea either and just receive, receive, receive. We have to go out and give some of what we receive. But that's part of why the church is malnourished. Christians stop speaking up. Why has the world gone mad? Well, hold your finger here. We're going to look at a few scriptures today. Go with me to Psalm chapter 2. Why has the world gone mad? Why is there this famine that God has decided to bring on the face of the earth? Psalm 2. Verse 1. Why did the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Wow. This is why the world's gone mad. They're breaking away from God. Let's start in the maternity ward. There's no moral governance anymore there. We've killed more babies than Hitler killed Jews and counting. There's no more order in schools. This is why you see chaos. People walking on campuses, just shooting them up. No regard for human life. What's holding them back? There's no more God in the justice system. Me and my boss sat in the meeting that was way long this past week. It was a deposition. And it's funny when you watch people. Would you raise your right hand? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Yes. Okay, based on what? Truth against what? There's no God in that. You remember the old stories on TV? You at least put the Bible up and you put your hand on the Bible and solemnly swear there's the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Well, that's out the window now. It's gone. People are imagining a vain thing. Let's cut away from God. Let's get God out of our maternity wards. Let's get God out of our school system. Let's get God out of our justice system. Let's get God out of our government, our politics. Anything goes. They're hungry. They're starving. It's self-imposed. There's so many churches today. Why is this happening? People are going crazy. Go back to Matthew with me. Oh, actually, before we go back, or Amos, before we go to Amos, go to 2 Kings. Show you another scripture. People are absolutely going crazy. And I don't want you to take my word for it. I can get up here and give my own opinion about things, and I have my own opinion about things, but it doesn't matter. All that matters is what the Word of God says is true. All that matters is what Jesus says. He's the final authority on all matters. 2 Kings chapter 4. If you're starving, you're going to eat anything. Elijah, verse 38. And Elijah returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. Now the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said to a servant, "Put on a large pot, boil stew for the sons of the prophets." So one went out into the field to gather herbs and found the wild vine. We're going to talk about this in a minute in reference to Amos and the fruit. And gathered from it a lapful of wild gourds and came and sliced them into the pot of stew. They did not know what they were. People don't know what they're eating. Then they served it to the men to eat. Now it happened as they were eating the stew, they cried out and said, "Man of God, there is death in the pot." And they could not eat it. When you break away from God, you start eating, mixing everything. What do you see in the church today? It's a mixture. We've mixed truth with air. Truth is supposed to correct air. Not the other way around. Why is the church so malnourished? Why is the church starving today? And I tell you what, I've been a Christian, like I said, I guess 14 years. Whenever it clicked to me. But I've never seen anything like this revealed to me. I really haven't. It's pretty scary. It's pretty frightening. People just mix and mix and mix. And the church is so malnourished is because now the world's values system is now in the church. It's become the church. No more let's go to the Word of God for the answer. Let's go to a self-help program. Let's go to the 12 steps of prosperity. Let's go to the name it and claim it. Let's go to you don't have enough faith. You got to pray harder. God will bless you. You should be wealthy. You should be all these things. You got to be slain in the spirit. You got to swing from the chandeliers to get God's attention. It's crazy. It is crazy how this stuff is happening. And it's poisoning the church. Just like this pot of stew. These are the prophets. But they can't eat it. It's death. It doesn't taste right. If you got any discernment at all, it don't taste right. What I did to start this service was reminiscent of the son of Satan. He gets up in front of his church, Joel Osteen. "Well, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am." And then they put it down, don't read it. 10,000, thousands, an arena full of people getting malnourished, spiritually dead. The last thing I want to be when I come to church is spiritually dead. And I teach my family this all the time. We don't come for anybody. We come for Jesus.
Amen.
That's who you should come for.
That's right.
People are not the standard of the church. Jesus Christ is.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is our standard. So it doesn't matter what you think. In one regard, it only matters what God thinks. Because I'm not going to stand before with my brothers and sisters on Judgment Day. I'm going to stand before the Lord alone. And the nice part is, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, if you're a Christian, your sins are already forgiven.
That's right.
We don't think about that, but your sins are forgiven.
That's right. Amen.
You're not going to be judged for your sins. That's been taken care of. It's for the work you did in His name. And whether it stands the test of Him examining it, then you'll receive reward. Read 1 Corinthians 3 on your own time. But this is what's happening. And the stew, it's poison. And so, how do we deal with this? Man of God, there's death in the pot, and they could not eat it. So he said, then bring some flour, grain, literally is what it says. And he put it into the pot and said, serve it to the people that they may eat. And there was nothing harmful in the pot. You fix error with truth. But Christians aren't speaking the truth anymore. Oh, we got a lot of people out witnessing. Hey, I got Brother Don who goes out to universities all around the country. You know, goes to street preaching. I got other brothers that go, I don't need to do that. What? There's plenty of people out there witnessing. Are you afraid to lose your job? Now, God doesn't say be foolish. But when you're given an opportunity, you better speak up.
Amen.
I had a 25-minute sermon I gave the other day in the office. Never would have thought, but it was my opportunity to speak up.
Amen.
Well, with some authority, I have the ability to fire people, so I guess they're going to be quiet and listen. No. Hey, I was asked the question. I just delivered. I did what I was supposed to do. I didn't back down from preaching the gospel because the person desperately needed to hear the gospel. That's it. I can't save anybody. You can't either. But it's your job to speak up when you're called to speak. That's it. But nobody's doing it. Christians aren't doing it. The self-help programs are. Psychology's doing it. The false teachers are doing it. What about us who relegate to the truth? You know, we got to be like that, like Elijah was. We got to bring that grain. We got to fix the air. We got to throw it into the pot. Now you can eat. Here's the good stuff. Forget the name it and claim it garbage. Forget the prosperity gospel. Here's the real gospel. You need Jesus. You're dead where you stand unless you repent. There's no good in us. None. There's none good. No, not one. I didn't say that. You're going to ridicule me because I'm standing up here telling you you're no good? No. God says you're no good. Oops. So how do I deal with that? Will He forgive my sins? Oh, yes, He will. If you repent, if you change your mind. Don't get swallowed up by the system. Don't get swallowed up by the stuff you see perpetrating today on TV, in the schools, in education. It's rampant to get people to break their bands away from God, to get people to eat this poisonous mixture until that one someone comes along and just dabbles a little bit of truth in it. Cleans the pot right up. Go back to Amos with me. Technology. It's a deadly force today. Material luxuries is gain, is causing people to forget God. Things are much more beautiful today than reading the scriptures, praying to the Lord, going to a Bible study, going to a prayer group. There's a lot of stuff more prettier, more important than God. Well, what's your basis for survival? What's your foundation? Shouldn't it be God Himself? The author and finisher of our faith, the beginning and the end? Well, back to Amos. Let's look at this. Amos saw a basket of fruit gathered together when the Lord asked him in verse 1. And he told him what he saw. What's the basket of fruit? It signifies, well, in harvest time, at the end of the harvest in the summer, Israel, they would gather up this fruit, and it came at the end of the harvest. It included grapes, pomegranates, figs, all of this stuff. But fruit is ripe. It's ready to eat. It's ready to be consumed. And so this is part of the revelation here. A basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people. In other words, they're now ripe for judgment. The people are ripe for judgment. If I look out these doors, is not the world ripe for judgment? It's scary. Jesus is coming. Make no mistake. And my whole one goal right now, and your one goal should be to prepare for that coming. Are you holding on to something? Are you holding on to your cell phone? Are you holding on to sports? I got a lot of my guys here today. You holding on to basketball? Well, hey, it comes and goes. Trust me. What are you holding on to? And none of that stuff really ever will satisfy you.
Amen.
You'll fall short. You can't work enough hours in a day. You can't spend enough hours in the gym, exercising. There's always something. But they're ripe. A basket of summer fruit. The end has come upon my people, Israel. I will not pass by them anymore. Wow. Remember he set Moses in the cleft of the rock? And Moses asked to see his glory and God showed him. But he's not going to show us too much longer. How much more will the stiff-necked people reject the Word of God and the truth of God? Well, if you're going to continue to reject it, then there's nothing else left but judgment. If you're going to reject the words of Jesus Christ, then there's nothing left but judgment. Remember, folks, and brothers and sisters, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not your standard. The people next to you are not your standard. The brothers, these young kids who are killing kids in our community are not the standard. You can't look down on them. They're sinners just like we are. And like I told the poor gal at work the other day, you know what? When you come through the doors of the church, she said, I feel so uncomfortable. I said, well, why? Why do you feel uncomfortable? Well, because, number one, your conscience is being dealt with. If there's any kind of truth being preached, God will deal with you in that environment. Number two, you're uncomfortable because you're sitting next to sit next to somebody in church and you think they're holier than thou. Wait a minute. Read the label over the door. Visualize it. All the sick. All the murderers. All the adulterers, all the thieves, all the liars, all the idolaters, all the prostitutes, all the drug addicts, all the drug dealers. Come in here. Those, it's for the sick. I'm sick and you're sick. That's why we're here. And we need healing on a continual basis. We need a washing every time we can get our hands on the Word of God. Every time I can gather with my brothers and sisters. Every time we need a washing. We need the cleansing. It's a constant. We need Jesus in front of us. We need to absorb and eat and feast on His Word, which we're going to talk about here in a minute. I won't pass by them anymore. And the songs of the temple shall be wailing in that day. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to believers. These are His people. They shall be wailing in that day, says the Lord God. Many dead bodies everywhere. They shall be thrown out in silence. Hear this, you who swallow up the needy and make the poor of the land fail, saying, when will the new moon be passed? That we may sell grain in the Sabbath, that we may trade wheat. Well, what's he saying here? It's religious corruption. It's religious corruption. That's why the church is malnourished, because you got people in it that are corrupt. Well, what's happening? People can't wait for the religious day to be over. When will the new moon be passed, and that we may sell grain in the Sabbath? They can't wait to get past the religious time period so they can get back to work. Get back to doing what? Falsifying the scales by deceit, buy the poor for silver, deceitful things. Well, let's translate that to today. Let me spell it out in English for you. I can't wait for church service to be over. I need to go home. I need to watch my Bears. No, don't watch them, please. I need to talk football, talk basketball. I need to cook. I got to clean. I got so many other things to do. Come on. Ray, please don't go that long today. That's normal. I hear that all the time. My kids rather take a beating than listen to me talk. They laugh because it's true. But the reality is, hurry up. I got other stuff to do. That's why I started with the technology. First thing you pull out, oh, check my messages, see who's texting me. Oh, Johnny texted me. I need to text him back. I get a hold of Susie. Oh, I got dinner. I got to text Molly to make sure she knows I'm all this other stuff. Now, what about what just happened in the gathering together today that we could meditate and share with one another, build each other up? Just like I use this illustration, partly because my guys are here, but just like basketball. You got to build each other up. What do? You exercise every day. You run. You almost puke in the garbage can. I make sure you don't puke on my floor when you're in the gym. Okay, you got to run. Why are you doing all these things? You shoot 1,000 shots. Your legs are tired. You're weary. You can't endure anymore. Well, it's preparation.
That's right.
Preparation so when you get in the race, you get in the game, then you can perform.
That's right.
Then you don't have to be dissuaded by all the errors that the other team is making. You take advantage of those things. And then when the game's over, the final score is in our favor. But if you don't, if you think you just flip a switch and say, oh, today I'm going to be super Christian. Oh, Satan's got something for you. He's ready for you. Because when a Christian's when they feel they're at their strongest, that's when Satan will have a go at you. When you're at your weakest, that's when you know you need God. And then you submit to Him and there's nothing Satan can do to you. Is this reverse thinking? Is this reverse psychology in a sense? That's all it is. But people can't wait for it to be over. They falsify the scales in verse 6 by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, even sell the bad wheat. Wow, even taking the bad grain and mixing it in with the good just to make a buck. A prophet, a false prophet, will sell anything just to make a buck. Hey, this cloth, heal this woman, and you can purchase it for $49.99. Just to make a buck. I'm exaggerating, but it's true. You guys have seen it. If you watch these televangelists, you've seen it on TV. You see what they propagate. I'm not here to beat anybody up. These are just landmines that you got to be aware of. And if nobody's up here telling you the truth, then you're just going to walk into that field and get blown up in battle. The Word of God tells us where our landmines are, people. We just got to wake up and see them. We got to feast on them. We got to constantly have them in the back of our minds, in our conscience, in our spirit. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. When judgment falls and God brings the judgment, there's no escape. Does that strike fear in anybody?
Yeah.
There is no escape from judgment. From the burning eyes of Jesus Christ, there is no escape. He gave us a way of escape. We just got to accept. Oh, I can't go to the cross. I can't profess to be a Christian. My friends think I'm too cool right now. I got the latest Jordans. I got the latest Suave Adidas and all this good stuff. But people, they think I'm too cool. I got too suave of a jump shot. Jesus doesn't care. Is it going to save you on judgment day? Any of my players listening? Anybody listening today? Is it going to save you on judgment day? Surely I never forget any of their works. Shall the land not tremble for this, and everyone mourn who dwells in it? All of it shall swell like the river heave and subside like the river of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in broad daylight. Wow, that's the end of days. That's prophetic. Amos not only saw for his time, but for the end of time. The moon will be darkened. It'll be turned into blood. The sun won't shine. Now we're in trouble. Now we're in trouble. it gets to the point where we're really people just aren't interested in God. There's too many other things going on. Isn't that part of the plot of the harlot? Just to keep you moving, keep you thinking. That's why I always tell my kids and people I get a chance to talk to about technology. It keeps you roaming. And I'm guilty just as well. Your mind just goes. You never can get away from anything because you have access to everything. You don't get a chance to relax your mind. Here's the other thing that kills me. And all my people know this, the people that I talk to, my young kids that I had a chance to minister, come to church with a Bible. Kids start coming to church with a Bible. They don't even bring Bibles anymore into the church. That's scary. I got the Bible on my phone and I read it. But why is it a bad idea? In one sense, because everything else is there. A text message is going to interrupt. You're going to get an email. Something's going to happen. The phone's going to ring. All of a sudden, you got to dabble out of your Bible and get into the other stuff. Something's always got access to your thinking while you have your phone in your hand. We don't think about that. But when you pick up this good book, there's nothing to interrupt you. You're not going to get, hey, you got a good text message right in front of you. Just read it. Study it. But not having a Bible does you no good. Yeah, you can have it on your cell phone, but your mind is really not set just on your Bible. That's why it's a bad idea. And believe me, where would I be without it? Where would you be without yours? It says what it says you are in one regard. But here we go. I will turn, verse 10, the feast into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on every waist and baldness on every head. I will make it like mourning for an only son, its end like a bitter day. Now the meat. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God. I will send a famine on the land. On the land. Judgment is inescapable. It's final. There is no escaping this famine. People will run to and fro, seeking what they won't be able to find because they've rejected God's word. Because he first says, not a famine of bread. That's over. Nor thirst for water, neither here nor there, but of hearing the words of the Lord. That's first. It's not that the word isn't given and people stop hearing. They got itching ears, as the New Testament talks about. And now they got to go after something else. Oh, this church is too judgmental. We hear it all the time. Oh, they're judging me. Well, what gives you a right to say that? Nothing. I'm just reading what God thinks. It's not my mind, it's His. But hearing the words of the Lord, they won't be able to recognize the truth if it hit them right in the face. Well, we can acknowledge some people who did that. Just look at the Pharisees in the New Testament. They knew the Scriptures backwards and forwards. But as John 5 says, you search the Scriptures, but you won't come to me that you might have eternal life, because the Scriptures speak of Him. I can study. I've been reading this book for 14 years. And believe me, I know some scriptures. I can memorize some scriptures. But it doesn't matter if I don't know Jesus. It doesn't matter if I don't know Jesus. I can study till I'm blue in the face. The scriptures speak of Him. And so when I come to the scriptures, I got to come to Him, that I might get the eternal life I'm desperately seeking. I can read all day long. The Pharisees read all day. They knew where He was going to be born. They knew the prophecies. But Jesus stood right before them and they didn't know Him. They rejected Him. Why? Well, they starved on something, but it wasn't the truth. Because by despising the Word of God, the famine comes. And what does the Scripture say? You will then reap what you have sown. God won't be mocked. We will reap what we sow. This is, in one regard, like I said earlier, this is a self-imposed famine. Because people are literally rejecting the Word of God. And they can't hear anymore. And we all know from deep studies, Jacob's done some great teaching on this, Gentiles can't hear. They don't hear. Well, you, who gives you the right? Oh, you copping a holier than that. They don't hear you. You're judging. I've had to do some of the hardest things in my life here this last year when I had to really despise my family. I had to literally reject them. That's a hard thing to do, to reject your own parents, who you love. But you're asking me to put you above God, and I cannot do that.
That's
a hard thing to do. And I love my parents. I love my brother, who's a homosexual. I love him. But I can't support what he does. And they're asking me to do that, and I can't do that. My conscience won't let me. That's a hard thing to do. Well, you don't care about family. Oh, yes, I do. I'm the only one that does. Because I'm the only one willing to tell them the truth. What's love based on? Truth. And if we can't tell each other the truth, then what love is there?
Amen.
This is why it's going to wax cold, according to Matthew, in the last days. There's no truth. Lawless. People have cut their cords. They're starving. They've become lawless. They're eating everything. Moms, you know what I'm talking about. Think of babies. They crawl around. They put everything in their mouth that they can handle. They eat anything. I forewarn mine because he's 9 months and he's already walking, but he got eagle eyes. He sees the little stuff on the floor. He picks it up. He'll eat it. Insert into mouth. Babies eat anything. But then if they come of age, you start training them. They start to discern what to put in their mouths and not put in their mouths. So it is with the Christian. In the beginning, you got to be careful because you can eat anything. But then as you train up and become rightfully dividing the word, as the scripture says, and a man of truth or a woman of truth, then you'll start to discern what you eat. That's important. You won't starve with the limitations of what you eat. You just got to eat the right things. Daniel's a good testament to that. You could eat the king's delicacies, or you can choose to feed on what God provides. And if you choose to feed on what God provides, you will not starve. I promise you that. You will not starve. You will eat. And you will be healthier than the world, who has everything to eat. As a matter of fact, we're falling short there too. They're saying in the next few generations, we got to at least produce 50% more food in order to survive. That's pretty scary. That's pretty scary. People are starving. But this famine is different than any other. He starts with the hearing of the words of the Lord, and they shall wander from sea to sea. People get confused. They get restless. And we know the sea is a metaphor for the world. It's restless. So I'm going to go from one pit to the next. If I get delivered from the Mormon church, I'll fall into the Jehovah's Witnesses. If I get delivered from the Jehovah's Witnesses, I'll go into the Oneness Pentecostals. It's the same stuff. You go from one pit to the next. Why? Because you refuse to hear the truth, the word. It's only what's appealing in your own conscience. What meets your needs? What suits you today? But if it disrupts something, which God wants to make us uncomfortable, why? This world is not my home.
Amen.
This world is not your home if you're sitting here today. It's not your home. I am preparing to leave. I'm not preparing to stay. So hold on to your stuff loosely. Hold on to your master's degrees, your PhDs. Hold on to your businesses very loosely, because when it comes, what's it all for? I'm getting out. I'm getting out of town. I'm gone. Lord's calling. It's time to go. But if I haven't feasted on the right things, beloved, then I don't have any oil. It's too late. Only God gives that. Only God provides the food, the right food. But people go from sea to sea, from one pit to the next, and from northeast, they're completely confused. North to east, I kind of not sure where he's going there, but it's just odd. You know, you hear a lot of east to west, north to south, some direction. North to east, just kind of, where are we going here? I'm going north, and 1 minute I'm going east. I can't figure it out. What's happening here? They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. My spirit will not dwell with man forever. You going to continue to reject the truth of the Word of God? Are you as a Christian going to continue not to speak up when you know you should? You're starving yourself when you don't. We all have to be tested. We're not above our master. The servant is not above his master. We have to go through what Jesus went through. And if we don't do this, beloved, we're going to starve. And there are people that are hungry that are eating poisonous things. We need to bring that grain of truth to them. But remember, buy the truth and sell it not. Don't cast your pearl before swine lest they turn and render. They'll trample all over it with no regard. We have to preach the gospel. We have to tell people the truth. If I don't do anything else in my outreach to the youth, hey, at least you heard the truth.
Amen.
That's my job. It's not to build a basketball player. It's to build the truth. It's to preach the truth. Give them the gospel. Then whatever they choose to do with it, that's on them. I can't save you. But you can't deny it. On Judgment Day, it'll be replayed. What makes hell, hell? You get the stuff replayed over and over and over again for eternity. Why was I so stupid? And just like the race in Hebrews, you can't run a race of endurance. Why? You don't have enough fuel in the tank. What's your food? Where do you get your energy? How can I endure? How can I run through that finish line if I'm on E? I guess I better refill up somewhere. Where are you guys going to fill up at? We'll get to a good church where the gospel's preached. Get to a good church where Jesus is laid out before people. The cross is central to everything. There's nothing added, nothing taken away from it. This is a stark revelation. It's a famine going on. People are hungry. So, in close, what's the remedy for all of this? What is the remedy? Are you hungry? Is anybody hungry? Anybody thirsty? I am. But what are you eating? What are you drinking? What's in the lemonade? What kind of water? What kind of bread are you eating? Is it moldy? What kind of Bible are you reading? You better make sure you have a good one, because there's a lot of corrupt ones out there. The New International Version just went gender neutral. They're tanking the Word of God. These people are mad. Oh, I want to mention the genders in there. Oh, it's equal. No, it's not. Where is it equal? What's the remedy? Feast on the Word. Ezekiel ate the Word. Chapter 2, verse 8. Look it up on your own time. John ate the Word. Revelation 10. Jeremiah says, in Jeremiah 15, I believe it was, he said, I found thy Word and I ate it. You have to seek. Laodicea is alive and well in the church today. For a starving church. Laodicea is alive and well. People's opinion. People are starving, but they think they have everything. Churches think that I got it made. You see these mega churches, these $20 million buildings, they got everything you can imagine. But yet they're completely naked and blind, starving. They're famished. They're malnourished. Jesus stands outside and he says, I'm knocking. Please let me in. Please let me in. You want to be cool? Follow Jesus. That's how I'm cool. I follow Jesus. And that's a task in and of itself in this sin-sick world. Because everything wants to knock you off stride. Oh, I got to be cool. I'll believe what I want to believe. Truth is no longer absolute in this world. It's all relative. And like I told the lady at work, hey, if you evolve from slime, that's what you're going to act like. It fits the mold. If that's what you want to eat, go right ahead and eat it. Who's hungry? Turn with me to John 6. We're ready to close. John 6. Jesus was ministering to many thousands And as we all well know, the Bible says if they marked everything as described and wrote everything Jesus did, all the libraries and books in the world can contain what he did when he was on this earth. And really, that's just in 3.5 years of his ministry. That's not including his whole lifespan. That's just 3.5 years. Wow. But if you're hungry, here's a remedy for the famine. Verse 34. As Jesus was in the wilderness, they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst." Amen. There's your answer. Amen. Jesus. Amen. You hungry? You thirsty for truth? Don't look at people. People will cause you to stumble. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
We will let each other down. We will hurt each other. We will say things to each other. But we're not the standard. Jesus is the standard. But don't put a stumbling block before your brother or sister at the same time. It's a balance. But he's the answer. You won't be hungry when I give you the bread I have for you. You will never be thirsty when I give you the water I have for you to drink. John 7, one chapter over, verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." He said, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." It's that grain. Just throw it in the pot. Make it good to drink, good to eat. Just that little element of truth that you get to speak to somebody. You don't know what it's going to do, but your job is to speak it. Some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. Don't hesitate. Don't think twice about it. This is why the church is malnourished. This is why the world is starving today. Because there's not enough of us out there going out there and preaching the gospel when we have every opportunity to do so. Because you will give an account. Because there is the commission. And then there's the omission of the commission. This is what you don't do, what you know you should have done. Because you want to be cool, or you didn't want to look bad in front of friends and all this good stuff. Youth, pay attention. When you go to those restaurants, you're sitting in Wendy's, McDonald's, hanging out. Man, look for opportunities. Amen. Somebody there needs the truth. And you don't know who God is prepared to receive it. You just got to go do it. Back to John 6. Verse 53. Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you."
That's right.
Now they took it as literal. No, but it's a feasting. It's figuratively speaking, but he's talking, you got to feast on me. You got to get to know me. You got to eat what I give you. Not what the world gives you, not what your friends give you. Eat what I give you. "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." If you feast on Jesus, you will not starve. Matter of fact, he'll take it to the next level and give you eternal life. That starts now, by the way. We know that. It doesn't start in eternity, it starts now. If I have life in me, then that's life I can give to someone else. And that life is not my own, but that life I now live is in the Son of God. That's what I have to give. And if you're famished, this is what you need to eat. If you're thirsty, this is what you need to drink. Truth, error, mixture, lies, deceit, adultery, murder, you name it. It met in one place 2,000 years ago on Calvary. It's called the cross. That's where Jesus paid for my sins, and I got many. I was a drug dealer. I ran the streets. I did all that stuff. I committed adultery. You name it. I did it. That's why I always tell my players, there's nothing you can say to me that I haven't done. There's nothing you can say to me that God won't forgive you for.
That's right.
You just have to trust Him. Don't trust your friends. And you have to love Him and you have to feast on Him. Because if you don't feast on Him, somebody's waiting, the enemy is waiting to come along and devour you right away.
Amen.
You know Satan has been thrown down to this earth, according to the Scriptures.
That's right.
He has very little time left. But he's seeking. He's going about like a roaring lion, the Bible says, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to eat us for breakfast and lunch and dinner. He wants to destroy our souls. Don't give him the unction to do so. Feast on Christ. Put aside your technology. Pick up the greatest text message given to you. Read it. Study it. Learn it. Learn of Him. That's the food. Fifty-five. My flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread. This is the right food that came down from heaven. Not your cell phone. This is what tells you what you really are. This is what saves you and redeems you. Nothing else but Jesus. Nothing else but the cross of Christ. Not your friends, not your relatives, not your family. Feed on me, says the Lord. Know me, says the Lord, that I might give you eternal life. Drink of me, says Jesus, that you will never thirst. You will never hunger. You will have clear discernment. You will not be tossed to and fro with every wind and wave of doctrine. You will have that grain to throw into the pot. So it's no longer poisonous that somebody's eating of. You might deliver somebody's soul from death and hell by speaking up. So he says, this is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna, physical food. This is not a physical famine, it's a spiritual one.
Amen.
As Amos alluded to. And are dead. Even the strong. Even the fair young virgins, as Amos said. The young men, they failed. They faltered. There was no room for redemption for them in the end. So what do you trust in? More importantly, the question is, what are you feeding on if you're hungry today? What are you drinking if you're thirsty today? That young girl, young man, crazy doctrine that says it's pretends and masquerades itself as Jesus. Lay aside all filthiness and wickedness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. That's what James says. He who eats this bread will live forever. Not the one who's eating the moldy bread, but he who eats this bread. Because, beloved, there's a famine on the land. And what that means is there's an impending judgment. It's an extensive period of starvation. People are starving, hungry. And God has brought it. You're going to reject me? Fine. I'll hand you over. Romans. Reprobate minds. People have gone mad. But it's a vain thing. Good Lord, help us. Good Lord, help us. And may He use this small little church here. We gather together. We don't pretend to have it all together. But you know what? The truth is here. Would everybody agree with that? Is the truth here today? The truth is here. Yeah, I get a little discouraged when my pastor has to travel all around, but he has every opportunity to feed the people, the multitudes, the hungry, the bread of life. That's his job. That's what he's called to do. And we can't miss a step when he's not here. We got to continue feasting on Jesus.
Amen.
We can't miss a beat. And I'm thankful for that. I'm very thankful for the fellowship and the brethren. The opportunity to witness a small church. Our CDs are all around the world. Who would have thought? Here in Iowa? Young people, know Christ. Put away your technology. Let your mind get alone with the Lord for a minute. Feast on Him. I challenge you. That's a difficult thing because it doesn't look good. It's not beautiful to you. But everything else is beautiful. Twitter, Facebook. I don't have Facebook. I'd probably be kicked off if I was on there. There's a reason why I don't. But, you know, take advantage. Use those opportunities as a mechanism to take the mainstream media technology. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. And then we'll see how many friends defriend you on Facebook. Because now you tell, oh, you just all this Jesus talk on something. What's wrong with you? Who made you God? Nobody. But I've been redeemed. And my job is to tell you the truth.
Amen.
If I don't, then you will die in your sins. And that's a bad place to be. Don't be afraid to portray yourself as a Christian. Before the people you work with, people you're around most of the time, tell them. I challenge you, tell them. I've been given an opportunity, but then you have to live up to it. Because you're held to a higher standard anyway. They're waiting to knock us down. And mainstream media is doing a pretty good job of it right now because of bonehead, supposedly Christians out there spouting lies, false doctrines, teachings. It makes us look stupid. But you know what? At the end of the day, that's not my standard. Jesus is. And may He feed us the bread of life. May He feed you the bread of life. May we feed each other the bread of life. When we're thirsty, may we give each other a drink that we might run the race set before us with endurance, patience. It's a jog. It's not a sprint. The famine is here and it's not going away anytime soon. The impending judgment on this world is God is uncompromising with it. So I pray today that you will receive this word. I believe the Lord's put on my heart. I'm only the messenger. But when you walk out these doors today, talk about the Lord. There's always talk for sports, basketball, food. Talk about the Lord. What is He doing in your life? What would you like to do differently today? Because He's going to take away the Sabbath. You don't want to rest? Okay, I'll make you restless. You don't want to feast on Me? I'll cause you to starve. Wow. It's irreversible because it's God. When He acts, who can reverse it? No one. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for Your word this morning to us. Lord God, and I pray, Lord, as I've delivered the word You've given me, and I pray, Father, that we would feast on it. We would meditate on it, Lord God. We would receive with meekness Your engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. That we would be replenished and nourished, O Lord, for the coming days, the dark days that are ahead, Father God. They're very dark and people are famished now, Lord. Give us the ability in our weakness, Lord, with Your strength and by Your Spirit that we might proclaim Your truth, that we might proclaim the gospel among the heathen, Lord God, who are raging and imagining vain things against You and our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, let Your word go forth from this day. May Your Spirit continue to work in each of our lives as we give You all the praise and thanks and glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you.